Even though I've been here more than 23 years, Philadelphia remains my home.
Cardinal John Patrick Foley served for more than two decades here in Rome as president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. But this year he was named as head, or to use the official title, Pro Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, an organization which began back in the Middle Ages and today works to support Christians living in the Holy Land. I sat down with Archbishop Foley just before his elevation to the College of Cardinals to find out whether he had ever, as a young priest back in Philadelphia, ever dreamed of becoming one of the Pope's closest advisers.
Absolutely not. I was ordained for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I thought I would remain in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I was very happy there.
Just take us back, if you can, for a few moments to those early years when you first felt that you had a vocation to the priesthood.
Well, I remember very clearly the Christmas day of my senior year in high school. After our Christmas dinner, I went back to our parish church and I knelt in front of the crib scene and I said, Lord, you've given me everything I have, my life, my family, my faith, a wonderful vocation, a great education, and I want to give it all back to you. And that's when I thought I would be a priest. I entered the seminary, the Jesuit novitiate, actually, after my high school graduation, and the novice master said that he thought I would be happier as a diocesan priest. And he proved to be right. But when I left the novitiate, I decided to finish at university first. So in case I had to leave the seminary again, I'd at least be able to earn a living. And I finished at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, and I'm very glad I did. That worked out beautifully. And I was able to belong to an organization which, in a sense, kept my vocation alive, the Sodality, because there was the requirement of daily Mass, 15 minutes meditation every day, and several hours of apostolic work each week. And one of the works which I did was to teach catechism to what we used to call retarded children. And I had six in this Catholic school, not too far from the university. I could walk there. One day the principal came in, a sister, and she said, well, do you like Mr. Foley? And this one little boy said, no. And I thought, oh my, I failed. And he said, we love Mr. Foley. And she said, why do you love Mr. Foley? He said, we love Mr. Foley because he teaches us about Jesus. And every time I think of that story, I fill up, because it was very moving for me then and it is now. And what could be more important than teaching people about Jesus? So that confirmed me in my vocation to the priesthood, those words of that little child.
Also confirmed you perhaps about the importance of communicating the faith to people, because you also have a vocation really as a journalist, don't you, as a communications man?
Well, I guess so. You know, I wasn't intending it that way when I entered the seminary, but my parents had always encouraged that. Well, they gave me a book when I was in seventh grade called You Can Change the World, suggesting various types of activities which could have an influence in society. One was politics, another was education, in other words, communication. So I thought communication sounded good. I was in seventh grade, and I went back to the library and got a book out on how to write radio plays. This is before television became popular. And I began to write radio plays in the lives of the saints, because I thought that people could use good role models. And I liked to read the lives of the saints myself. So I began to write these radio plays, and when I went to high school a year and a half later, I took them to the student counselor, who referred me to the diocesan director of communications, who referred me to this woman who worked at a major network station in Philadelphia, who helped me improve the plays and referred me to a local station. The owner was an Irishman, I remember very clearly, Pat Stanton, and he liked the plays and he put them on the air. And then I became an announcer on that station when I was 14 on Sunday mornings for religious programming. I still remember the call letters, what we had to say every half hour, you know. WJMJ 1540, top of the dial and clear as a bell in Philadelphia. And then when I got into college, we began to do television work. And both being on air and producing, which was very interesting. They were the relatively early days of television. And you could do a lot, you know. They were very tolerant to experimentation, and it was wonderful for a young person at that time. When I entered the seminary, I figured, well, that's it for communications, you know, so, except for the Sunday sermon. But then I got a call from the editor of the diocesan newspaper, a priest who had known me when I was doing radio work in high school. And he said, how would you like to work here during the summer at the diocesan newspaper? We need somebody to do the Catholic directory. So I said, wonderful, good. So I worked there during the summers. And after ordination, I was assigned to a parish, which was wonderful, wonderful parish. And I went over to the grade school once a week, and I had for the top four grades, a little radio program over the public address system. And for the lower four grades, I brought hand puppets. And one was a priest and the other was a little boy, and I would teach catechism to the little boy. The priest would teach catechism to the little boy, who would turn to the children in the class to look for help, and they would help the little boy to answer the priest's questions. I thought, if I go into class as a priest, they'll freeze, they'll be nervous. But if we have this little play, they'll take part. And it worked, thank God. So I enjoyed that. At the end of that year, I was called in by the Archbishop and said that he was sending me to Rome for work in philosophy, because he said, I think I might be using you in communications, and in order to do that effectively, you should be aware of the mental categories of other people. And so he said philosophy will be a good background for that. And I thought, it makes sense. And it was during the Second Vatican Council, so I also worked as a correspondent for our diocesan newspaper and for Catholic News Service. And then the Archbishop sent me to Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. And that was providential, because the Pope came to New York that year. Pope Paul VI came to the UN when he said, war, never again war, a very memorable event. And I was sent by the university to cover that, because there I was, a priest in the Graduate School of Journalism, so they figured this is logical to send a priest. And I was there at Yankee Stadium for the Mass. And also, I've been at the UN every time a pope has been at the UN, because I was the English language press secretary for the trip of Pope John Paul II in 1979, and then I was an archbishop working in Rome in 1995, and I went along on that trip too. So it's been exciting. And I even had the invitation to address the General Assembly of the United Nations one time on ethics and communications, which was a wonderful thrill, a great challenge.
Communication really has been then a thread running through this career. Have you ever felt that any times there's a contradiction between your vocation to the priesthood, your faith, and your journalistic career, your profession?
Never. Jesus told us, teach all nations, and he spoke to the crowds on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, look at the number of people he addressed there. St. Paul thought it was best to go to the marketplace. So what better marketplace is there than the media?
You were sort of ahead of your time in recognizing perhaps the modern meaning of this communicating the faith. Were there times where you perhaps felt a little frustrated by the church's failure to recognize how important it is to communicate to people using all the modern means available?
Well, I never thought I was ahead of my time, really, but there have been moments of frustration when I thought, why can't people realize the marvelous opportunities that exist here? There's a lot of fear of the media, and while I'm not going to deny that some in the media might have prejudices, some in the media might abuse their power, as some in all walks of life abuse their power, I still think that the media sometimes might make demands that might seem unreasonable, but the opportunities they offer are irretrievable. We should take advantage of every opportunity, because there's always a chance to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ.
This appointment to the College of Cardinals is a recognition of your more than two decades service there at the Council for Social Communications. You've now moved on from there, but what perhaps is your hope for communications here at the heart of the Church?
Well, of course, as the program master of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, which might seem like a very medieval title, there are very modern opportunities to work for the benefit of Christians in the Holy Land, the original, the descendants of the original followers of Christ. And it would be a shame to see that Christian presence disappear from the Holy Land. And also, of course, there's the opportunity to work for peace and reconciliation. And I would hope through the continuing work of communication to make people aware of the plight of their fellow Christians in the Holy Land, and also to make people, even in the Holy Land, if this is possible, aware of the opportunities for peace, tolerance, mutual understanding, and growth, both in peaceful accomplishment and, I would hope, in holiness.
Cardinal John Patrick Foley of Philadelphia.